Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
All right, we have to discuss something very important as we prepare to round off. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. This is quite a revolutionary statement. One of the most revolutionary statements in the body of Christ at that time. Present truth. And for people who knew the development of knowledge and who understood theology, they should have been taken aback by the audacity of that statement. And I know it's a statement, a text that you've known since kindergarten and since Sunday school days, but I hope that the Lord will help you understand how important this text is. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Very quickly. All right, so First Peter chapter 2, verse 9, I said, this is a revolutionary text. He was speaking like a prophet. He was speaking present truth and revelation. And what he was saying turned the whole Old Testament theology on his head. And you have to really be familiar with Old Testament development of knowledge to know how revolutionary this is. So to understand and appreciate this, we're going to first read this, then I will remind you of some things I said in the earlier sessions. Everybody, First Peter chapter 2, verse 9, read together as loud as you can. 1, 2, go. Powerful. It says, but you are a chosen generation. Say, I'm chosen. Once upon a time, only Israel could say that. But in Christ, you've been brought into the commonwealth of Israel. You are a chosen generation. Now, this is the part I want to dwell on. A royal priesthood. You do not know how radical that statement is. For anybody at that time, at that advent, to have the audacity to call a group of people a royal priesthood, it was oxymoronic when it came to theology. You are either a priest or you are royal. You can't be a royal priesthood. It was oxymoronic. God was strict with that order. To be a king, you had to belong to the tribe of Judah. To be a Levite, you had to belong to the tribe. To be a priest, you had to belong to the tribe of Levi, all right? You could do mix both. In fact, don't forget the story I told you about the King Uzziah. That was what ended his life. Even though he had been a good king and he ruled well for 50 good years, one day in his pride, he commonized the secret place. And then he went before the Lord and made incense. And right there, leprosy broke out on his forehead. Because as special as you are, being a king, you dare not try to combine priesthood with it. Come on, guys, are you seeing this? So now he's calling you a royal priesthood, meaning if you stood where Uzziah stood, nothing will happen to you. That's what I'm trying to tell. So you need to realize this is a statement of access. It's a great privilege. Now, everyone in Christ is bivocational. Oh Lord, help me explain this. Everyone in Christ is what? This was something that from the beginning of age was not possible. Are you aware this was the same reason that Saul was cut off? The same reason. Because they were supposed to offer sacrifice. And he's waiting. Waiting for the prophet, for the priest. And the priest is not coming on time. All his soldiers are agitated. He doesn't want to disappoint them. What is there? I've seen him do it like this. He just do the fire like this, put the sacrifice like this, and light the fire, and that's it. And when he did that, 1 Samuel chapter 13, we'll read verses 13 and 14. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, "And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom forever.'" Verse 14, "But now your kingdom shall not continue, and the Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart." Meaning, just by doing that, you are replaced. As special as David was, he dare not be a priest. You couldn't merge the two offices. Saul did it, he paid for it. Uzziah did it, he paid for it. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? And then Peter stands centuries after, looks at the church of Jesus Christ and says, "You are a royal priesthood. Bivocational." Come on, are you listening to me? We reign in the marketplace and we reign in Christ. You get where this is going? We do both perfectly. We dominate and we carry priesthood. We wear both graces. Come on, are you listening to me? What a privilege. And this was prophesied by Zechariah, that somebody was going to merge those two offices. In Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, Zechariah 6, 12 and 13, Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, this is some Bible study, so we'll go through a few texts. It says, "Then speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, the man whose name is the branch.'" Any suspicion who that is? "From his place, he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." Next verse. "Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. He shall be a priest on his throne." Wow. Don't you just love the word of God? "He shall be a priest on his throne." Nobody hitherto had combined these offices. But he shall be a priest on his throne. So understand this. It doesn't matter what else you know about Jesus. If you don't know that Jesus was and is a king, I don't know what else you know. You know, Jesus stood in front of Pilate. And everyone else who was interrogating Jesus interrogated from the context of their own personal interests. So the high priests were more concerned about theology. Pilate was more concerned about politics. So Pilate's first question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" That was his own concern. And unlike many other questions that Jesus kept quiet about, Jesus replied. Would you like to see Jesus' reply? John chapter 18, verse 37. "Pilate therefore said to him, 'Are you a king? Are you a king?'" Clear question. Jesus answered, "You rightly said, 'I am a king.'" Did you see that? He said, "I am a king." Hitherto he had said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So when Pilate heard that, he said, "Are you a king?" He said, I am a king. Understand this. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 13, one of the prophecies that was given to David was this. I think 2 Samuel, right? 2 Samuel 7, 2 Samuel 7, 12. He says, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. Verse 13, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So now, at that time, what people interpreted this to mean was that there will always be a king from the lineage of David. They were right and wrong. It was an interpretation issue. I mean, look at what he said. The prophecy was actually about one person, not many people. So they thought, okay, after David, his son will take over, and then his grandson will take over, and his great-grandson will take over. No. He said, he shall be... Okay, when your days are fulfilled, you shall rest with your fathers. I will set up your seed. He's talking about somebody. Your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Say loud, amen.
Amen.
And so one of the clear prophecies about Jesus, even when the angel was giving the prophecy, in Luke chapter 1, verses 22 and verses 32 and 33, Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. So that means two things. Number one, Jesus belonged to the genealogy, the physical lineage of David. He was born to the tribe of Judah, and specifically through the line of David. Okay? And so now, because his kingship also is combined with the fact that he has eternal life, that is why his kingdom will have no end. That was the prophecy. So I said all of that to say this: Jesus was indeed a king and is a king. In fact, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. I'm taking my time with this Bible study deliberately to build the case. Now, Jesus is also a priest. But here is the issue. Is God going to break his own law and make somebody from the tribe of Judah also be a priest? Is there any doctrinal justification for somebody being both priests and king? Yes, because there was a pattern in the Old Testament. There was a man named Melchizedek who was both a king and a priest. And so if Jesus is born of Judah and he is a king and he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek, that priesthood is not just legitimate, it's even higher than the priesthood of the Levitical priesthood. Because the writer of Hebrews makes this argument. He said, all the Levites, being the descendants of Abraham, were in the loins of Abraham. So when Abraham saw Melchizedek and gave a tithe to Melchizedek, he did that on behalf of his lineage. And so, like the Bible says, of necessity, the less is blessed of the greater. So that means the Melchizedek priesthood is higher than the Levitical priesthood. And long before Jesus came on the scene, it was prophesied. David, being a prophet, prophesied it. I have made you a prophet, a priest, after the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus was both what and what? And I can go into the nitty-gritties of explaining why it was necessary for both. Because as a king, he has authority to save. And as a priest, he has access to God on our behalf. So both offices are quite important. As a king, he can reign in our lives. But as a priest, he can reconcile us to God. Both offices are important. And now the Bible says something. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. So now, Jesus is a king and a priest. And this is what the Bible says about us. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, he says to him who loved us and washed our sins with his own blood, verse 6, everybody read together, one, two, go. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm letting you see, when you hear king and priest, you don't understand the immense spiritual privilege. It wasn't always possible. He has made us kings and priests. Listen, in a generation where we have emphasized only priesthood, this balance is important. He has made us what? Revelation chapter 5 verse 9. Revelation chapter 5 verse 9 and 10. This is a powerful one. Everybody read together, one, two, go. And they sang, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and earth and tongue and people and nation. Verse 10, 1, 2, go. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Give the Lord some praise in this place. If we don't understand this, we will constrain our influence on the earth. So first, what does it mean that we are priests? To be a priest simply means to represent man before God and God before man. That's the duty of a priest, to represent man before God and God before man. Man before God in intercession, and God before man in ministry. That's what priesthood is. That's what priesthood is. So the priest will go into, quote and unquote, I'm using Old Testament explanations, into the presence of God for mankind, and then will now come out and serve God's people. So those two were important. And so the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Now, he now tells you, he says, now all things are of God. This is something about priesthood you don't know. When God was sharing lands in the promised land, he shared land for every tribe except the Levites. He says, because God will be their portion. When you say the Lord is my portion, you don't mean that in a theological term. It means he's the one who determines my lot, my inheritance. He pays my salary. And my priority is to him and for him. So a priest on the earth, whilst others are just looking constantly for how to advance their life, you know you are here on an assignment. Come on, I get what I'm saying? So others can have, I'm using Old Testament language now because it's different contextually. But in the Old Testament, whilst others have land to farm, you are in the temple sun up to sundown, and God is meeting your needs in ministry. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So now in the New Testament, of course, not only are you allowed to have jobs, you must. But your priority must still be the priority of a priest. In the UK, you didn't just relocate for a better life or for education or for whatever it is you came here for. You are thinking as a priest, how can the cause of God be advanced in this land? You are concerned. You're checking numbers. Church growth in United Kingdom, in Europe. Church growth. You're checking all those things. It must matter to you. You're following the news. It doesn't matter what else you do. As a medical doctor, you're evangelizing. You're telling people about Jesus. Tech bro, full of the Holy Ghost. You have your food business on the side, but you're an intercessor. That's your calling. Listen, don't forget what we discussed, I think, yesterday afternoon. God says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. Don't forget the call on your life. To whom much is given, much is required. Let me tell you something. And I'm saying this confidently. If out of 7 billion people in the world, our paths cross, God must have a plan for your life in ministry, directly or indirectly. Except you don't understand the assignment of this ministry. There's a reason you are seated here. There's a reason. If you doubted that God had a plan for your life the day you stepped into these doors, doubt no more. I'm telling you. Because God sent us to raise an army. You know, there was a church, you know, this is a joke, but I think it's less in there. A church would always preach about being the Lord's army. But there was this member of the church who was always missing in action. Would just come once in a while, disappear again for weeks. So they asked that guy, are you in the Lord's army? He said, yes. So how come we scarcely see you? Say, I'm in the secret service. There is no secret service in the Lord's army. Help me tell this to the person by your side. There is no secret service in the Lord's army. Say, are you in the Lord's army? Are you in the... Listen to me. You can't love Jesus and not take priesthood seriously. This is the priesthood dimension of the ecclesia. He told Peter, he said, lovest thou me? And Peter said, oh Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Well, nice. But feed my sheep. So Jesus expects you to prove it. Prove it in ministry. How can you be a part of a church like this and not be doing something? Something like, okay, look at this great conference that God executed, and you have no part in it except attending. I genuinely do not understand how people are able to pull this off. Like, how can you see people doing stuff for God? You know, and people who don't get involved are usually the ones that spot all the errors. I'm like, that backup singer, she missed the key a little. She moved from F to F sharp. Maybe heaven is giving you F9 they hype me better in Lagos, I'm just saying. you gotta get involved. Get involved. Come on, are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Pastor K is his witness. The first time I came to London, we took an Uber. And in the Uber, the guy was obviously a Muslim, and he just put on his radio, and it was an Islamic chant. You claim to have the truth, and you are the shyest to declare your stance. So I said, brother, please reduce or wear ears, please. You know, I said, this is what we are saying, tolerance. Huh? I said, don't gaslight me. I paid for a vehicle. I reserve the rights to decide what I want to hear. What do you mean tolerance? Look at who is talking. Take priesthood seriously. Contribute, play your part. There's a reason God gave you the gift you have. Even if it's just to constantly share the materials on social media, you must play your part. Now, this is the word of the Lord to you. If you're not active in church, even attending as a member, you come once in a blue moon. Well, that has to change. Don't let heaven observe that you only show up when you need something. Some of us know people like that. When they call you, they're like, so you can't wait for them to set aside the formalities. Oh, how is everything now? How is the family? Fine, what do you want? So, hope is not too cold. It's not too cold. What do you want? you know, you want something. And there are people like that who never disappoint. Never. They are not ashamed to prove you right. What if heaven knows your voice that way? Just what if? Say, I'm a royal priesthood. So that text we're quoting, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Meaning your priorities are new. And it says, all things are of God. Listen, there are a lot of things I'm passionate about. Nothing comes close to my passion for the advancement of the kingdom of Christ on the earth. My will, my desire, my prayer is still this. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why I'm here. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. Some Christians stop there. He doesn't stop there. He has reconciled us to himself and given us a ministry of reconciliation. Never again ask, am I called to ministry? You just saw it. You may not be asked to plant a church, but you are given work to do. He has reconciled us and given us the work of reconciliation. Just like that madman in the Gadarenes. After Jesus cast out demons from him, he said, stay here and evangelize. Stay here and evangelize. You have work to do. To whom much is given, much is required. You attend a church like this, you are learning so much Greek words, Hebrew words. And you think it's just to brag about it and tell your friends that you know better than them? You must get to work. You know, something happened to me 2 weeks ago. There's a Muslim guy I've been seeing. I've known that guy for about 4 years. And each time I would say, I'll preach to this guy. And I know better, as somebody who evangelizes from time to time, I mean regularly, you know, I know not to descend by the face, but I ain't gonna lie to you. You know, the guy just looks like somebody that if you preach to, just start watching your back from there. After 4 years, the Lord orchestrated it. I preached to him. It was easy. Listen, it took less than 4 minutes. Accepted the gospel on the spot. And I'm just like, just imagine in a day and age like this, a lot of people are audacious with different things, carrying on their agenda. And then you, somebody shed blood for you, and you won't talk about it. You won't talk about it. Why won't you talk about it? Because of how you will look. Because of how you'll be labeled, how you'll be tagged. Somebody did all of that work, was beaten, bled, died for you. Again, that text, he has given us the work of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled unto God. So you know what he's telling you? He's telling you, Jesus did it, your part is to tell it. Like, that's all. He did all the work. Did you ever do group projects in the university? And maybe somebody did all the hard work, but you happen to be eloquent. So they say, you will present for us. Oh my God, I like to present. You go to the market, buy all the stuff, couple all the parts, you know, and let me just come confidently and present with eloquence. I will dress well. That's your part in salvation. It's not that hard. That's why I said, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God doth beseech you by us. Say, I'm an ambassador for Christ. So as an ambassador for Christ, I'm going to show up in church regularly. And you see, let me tell you something. A lot of the struggles you're having in your walk with God will disappear if you just show up regularly. I'm telling you. Look at Psalm 133 from verse 1. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So, what happens when we fellowship together? He says, it is like precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron. So, he's telling you, part of priesthood, even though, of course, in his context at that time, it was the Aaronic priesthood. Are you getting what I'm saying? So part of priesthood is fellowship. Running down the beard, running down the edge of his garment. So listen to me. When we fellowship together, we intermingle graces. That's why when we hold hands together in many churches, they say, let's share the grace. Even though a lot of people do that religiously, understand that there is a real spiritual implication to it. There is something about what is called the corporate anointing. It just spreads. Has it ever happened to you? You struggle to pray for days. Then you came to church, especially in a camp meeting like we had this weekend. And somehow, as the service was going on, you caught fire. Some of you know what I'm talking about, don't you? This is what he's explaining. This is the spiritual infrastructure, the spiritual technology. He says it is like the dew of Hermon descending down the mountain of Zion. He says, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life evermore. There. Let me tell you something. You know what this tells me? There are some things you cannot receive individually. There are some blessings that the Lord releases in the assembly. He says, there, God has commanded a blessing. No matter how great you are individually in your walk with God, there is still the precious blessedness of the corporate anointing. It says there, God has commanded the blessing. Tell that to anybody who says, I can serve God anywhere. There, God has commanded the blessing. God is everywhere. There. Anybody who understands the things of the Spirit knows that when the Lord commands with specificity how he wants to do something and where he wants to do it, don't come up with your own intelligent ideas. The Lord told the disciples where he will meet them. Tarry in Jerusalem. He's specific with things like that. If you like, go to Judea. Pray 50 days and see if anything will happen. He was specific, precise with things like that. And one of the places that he has commanded his blessing is in the fellowship of the saints. To the degree that you are the temple of God individually, but we are also built up as a spiritual house. Come on, are you listening to me? You need church. You need a pastor. And one of the things the devil will try to do is to give you reasons why you shouldn't attend church. There are many intelligent reasons he will give. Somebody will genuinely hurt you. And you act surprised as if it's everybody, even in your biological family, that you like. The church is not that bad. Come on! You have siblings that you can barely cope with. You can't live together. You can't stand. You left your house at 17 because you had had enough. And you are here acting as if the church is so bad. The church is full of imperfect people growing in their consciousness in Christ. When you walk in a toxic environment, you didn't say, I'll never walk again. Why is it only church you are quick to cancel? You don't have a job? Why? Work is not for me. I tried it. Work is not for me. You don't say that. It's only church. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, this was the way that God was going to change Saul's life. From verse 5, it says, after that you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is, and it shall happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument. This is why we worship in church. Things happen when we worship in church. Come on, are you listening to me? We string instrument, a tambourine, a flute, a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. Why will the Spirit of the Lord come upon you? Oh, because you were on a fast? No. Because you were praying? No. All those things are wonderful. He's saying you'll be sucked into the corporate anointing. Just by being in the right environment, being in the environment where these things are happening, it says the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will prophesy with them. Well, that's why you come. That's why you come. Come on, are you listening to me? And it happened exactly the same way. Let me read on to you. From verse 10. When they came to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he prophesied among them. And it happened when all who knew him formerly. Kai, this is so powerful. All who knew you formerly. All who knew you formerly. When they saw him prophesying amongst the prophets, the people said one to another, what is this that has come upon high? Put your name there. Kai! Kai! You see, one of my first times walking in the prophetic, that's exactly what happened. Somebody just showed me a clip. Come and see this guy. He prophesies. I was in school then. So I was very intrigued by it. I watched one clip, second clip, third clip, fourth clip, and I was just like, wow. Precise, and I wasn't expecting anything. As I stepped out of that office, the first person I saw a television on his stomach. I can't explain it. And I saw everything happening in his family. His elder brother had been wayward. His parents, who were Christians, had cried, prayed to God, and everything. So as I was prophesying, he was shocked. I was shocked too. But you know, I had to act like, I've been doing it from my mother's home. I say, do you know me before? Have I seen you before? Celebrate grace. I say, can I probe? I saw everything on his stomach. And as I left that place, I was like, wow. He was shocked. His jaw hit the floor. I can tell you experiences. Listen to me. This is one hack. Let me tell you. When God wants to change your life, he brings you in close proximity to certain possibilities. That's a simple spiritual hack. One of the smartest ways to grow spiritually, as important as prayer is, as important as fasting is, when you are close to somebody who has it, you touch the graces regularly. Just watching on the screen. Watching on the screen. The kind of ease this ministry has can rub off on you. I'm telling you the truth. I can give you many instances. Some experiences that I cannot still fully tell. You know, very funny things. And that's why I said the things of the Spirit have to be taught. Because I know the way the things of the Spirit operate. The moment you hear it, subconsciously, it triggers an expectation. In school then, somebody brought me some clips. Sid Roth, it's supernatural. And I was watching some series on teleportation. I was like, wow. Wait till they did this. Then someone was driving in a car. A journey that was supposed to take, I think, 10 hours, took 30 minutes. That if he did not know the road, he wouldn't have known anything happened. So I was just like, wow. The next day, I just slept, woke up. You know, I was listening. I was not even listening to a serious song. Just a groovy song. I can't give you the full details. All I know is, when I walked for a while, I shouted out. What am I doing here? I was confused. If not that I know that place well, I wouldn't have known, because somehow before I thought it would be cool, like Flash, you'll be going, you know. It was so weird. Nothing, I didn't feel like anything was happening, but all I know is when I looked at where I was, I screamed. And it wasn't something I was desiring. It wasn't something I was praying about. But just watching it did something to me, and I didn't even know. As we behold, as in a glass, we are changed. I'm telling you. I can go on and on and on. Please show up. Many times, you won't even feel like anything is happening. But something. Car. Just like this weekend. Oh, you don't know the deposits of grace that have rested on you. The kind of atmosphere, very thick. Now you carry that kind of thing home. You carry it home. Say loud amen, somebody. So you take priesthood seriously. At your age in the Lord, they shouldn't be cajoling you to pray. It was one of the first things, when I started hearing God, one of the first things he told me, children are the responsibility of the kingdom. Sons are responsible for the kingdom. One of the first things I heard from God, I was in a service. Bishop Oyedepo was preaching. And the Lord spoke to me clearly. And as I meditated on it, I got the point. I got the point. Because as you're growing up as a child in a house, as a toddler, if you want food, you just cry, and the whole house will be running helter-skelter to get food for you. A time will come, if you cry, they say, my friend, go and get it. So you're hungry, you're crying. Go to the kitchen and carry your food by yourself. And after you eat, you must wash your plates. So a time will come, the crying won't work. That's what growth is. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Then in the same house, a time will now come. If you are hungry, you will cook by yourself. They won't say, go and get. You will cook for the house. So there are some of us, our priorities are different. Some people, when they go to a city and there is no good church, there, they start complaining. The only good church is 1 hour. A time will come. God will say, so why are you there? Why are you there? Sit down. Let us train you and be our envoy there. Come on, are you listening to me? You know, something happened. Even after a long day yesterday, 3:30 a.m., I still woke up abruptly, and the Lord told me about an African country, something. So I prayed about it, slept, woke up. So I'm scarcely on social media when we have a camp meeting like this. But I mean, the major part of the program has ended, so I just downloaded it for a bit. Yes, to see what's happening, like a few things, you know, and all of that. And I went to my DM. 1:30 a.m., a lady had sent a DM and said, sir, the Lord said I should ask you, do you have plans for this country? I'm going there and I'm ready to be a part of whatever, the same country. So at about the same time, God was speaking to us. I said, now that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Ah, if you think Celebration Church is growing, watch. Just watch. Because with the way you have caught fire now, he has made you priests. Now, you see, if your family needs to hear from God, the pastor need not come to your house when you are there. Priesthood. I can dream. Tadema, remember? Akamanakabaya. I will see things about my friends, my family, my loved ones. I will dream the full thing beginning to end. Not everybody parents the same way. Some parents with tadema. When their children come back, they will say, come, where did you go? They saw you. Where did you go? That's the kind of house I grew up in. Before there was cell phone, one afternoon, my mom just fell on the floor, started crying, holding her stomach tight. What is the problem, mommy? She said, your daddy, something is wrong. And she's praying in the spirit. No phone to call him. My dad was at gunpoint at that time. He bought a brand new 505. They had seized it from him, pointed a gun at him, seized it at Third Mainland. At that time, and his wife at home, without cell phone. Patakabaya, retakabaya, shandarabala, shandarabaya, shandaraba. If not, only God knows what would have happened. Say, tadema. Ka. That's priesthood. That's the kind of house I grew up in. I told you, my 10-year-old daughter has given me 4 prophetic words. 4. When I say prophet, strong ones like this. I wish I could tell you some of them. They are personal. Strong. As in, the last one, I screamed. I called my wife. I said, repeat what you said. We were afraid. Fear. There was a time I woke up from a dream because the Lord told me something the devil was trying to do with my wife. The same time, my daughter just woke up, came to the room, "Daddy, I had a bad dream." I said, "Don't worry." So we're dreaming at the same time. I said, "Go to bed, I'll take it from here." That's I just put Jesus, God of vengeance, has won my battle. You see, life is not ordinary. You heard the testimony of the growth my wife had that disappeared. Let me tell you the dream. In the dream, I was in a cancer hospital. And the cancer doctor was telling me, you know, she's not going to make it. That's what I saw. Shebi, if I didn't see that now, I would say, these things happen with the DNA. There's a way DNA is genetics. Abi? Priesthood. You can save your family. What are the things your family is going through that if only you were taking your priesthood seriously? If only. Come on, are you listening to me? But there is a dimension of the ecclesia that we don't talk about. When Jesus said, "On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail over it." He used that term. He used a term that was well understood, especially in Greek circles. The ecclesia was a family, was a consortium of political rulers. So, in a territory, I think the last time I was preaching on this, I used the example of the Mongol Empire. Let me see if I can find the notes. I used the example of the Mongol Empire. How that it was a family, but a family of kings. So the father was the king. He had conquered an empire and put the sons in charge of provinces. Now, once every, I can't remember the frequency, they will come together, not just as a family, but as the head of provinces. Now, that was ecclesia. It was a governmental meeting. A governmental meeting. So now, we are royal priesthoods. It means part of our responsibility is not just incense. Part of our responsibility is that in a socio-political sense, in a secular sense, we are representing Jesus as kings. This is one dimension the church needs to take seriously. Most church people are all acting as Levites. That's part of the problem in the world. I think 2 years ago, I came to this London to preach. One of the halls we wanted to use, they told us to sign that if you're going to use this hall, you can't say this, you can't say this, you can't say this. I said no. So that's why we didn't use the hall. Are you listening to me? Let me tell you something. I've said this time and again. When you study church history, it was kings and priests that made the gospel move fast. Revival has not happened with priesthood alone, ever. I can tell you from the beginning. So why is it that there was such a revival in Antioch that people started calling believers Christians? I will tell you why. Because according to church tradition, it's not right in the Bible, but according to history, okay? It was said that the king of Antioch then was sick. He sent word to Jesus, of course, because at the time in the incarnation, he's not sent but to the lordship of the house of Israel. He didn't go, but he told him he would see him in glory or something like that. He gave an indication that was referring to his resurrection. So after his resurrection, one of the disciples of Jesus went to Antioch for ministry, and the king heard about it, sent for him, and said, "Oh, please pray for me." He prayed for him. The guy was healed instantly. Because the king became a Christian,
it was easy for the gospel to prevail in Antioch. At that time, half of Antioch in a few years became believers. 300,000 believers. In an age where every other religion, it was illegal to be a Christian because of the king. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Years after, the Roman Empire was still killing Christians, throwing them to lions, doing all kinds of things, killing them for sports. You know, a lot of people, they are comfortable only in priesthood, and there is nobility in priesthood. It's sweet. It's encouraging that no matter the persecution, you can stand for Jesus. But you see, it is noble for you. If you die, you go to heaven. But many people will not hear. Are you getting what I'm saying? What does it profit to go as a missionary? Thank God for the benefits. But you can't win 100 souls, start a small church, they come, kill you. At least 80% of the people will run away. More than half of them will return back to their old ways. Are you getting what I'm saying? It will now take God another 30 years to send somebody new. There has to be a different approach. We are ready to pay the ultimate price if it comes to that. But has the church entered the dimension of kings and priests? Are you getting what I'm saying? In an era where you have the opportunity to get into politics, you see, now that you are in here, have you studied about the politics? What does it take to be a mayor? What does it? And don't forget what I taught you. If you don't read up on it, you will not hear God about it. You won't hear God about it. Because God must first expose you to the desire. He works in you first to will before to do. Never forget that. Get curious. Get curious. So, the Roman Empire had been persecuting Christians for eons. Until a man named Constantine, who was the emperor at the time, he just looked at the sun. He was looking at the sun for idol worship. He was worshiping the sun god. But instead, he saw the cross on the sun. That's why I was telling you. Ah, my God. God knows how to colonize things that were used in ungodliness. Another sermon for another day. He saw the cross. And a voice told him, by this sign, you will have great victory. So he knew that the Christian God was promising him victory in his next battle. So he put the inscription of the cross on all the shields of his people. And even though they were the underdogs in that battle, they won. So he became a Christian instantly. Came up with the Edict of Milan, prohibiting the persecution of Christians. A strong politician did that, a king. He was the one that eventually called for the Council of Nicaea. See, are you getting what I'm saying here? Almost never in church history did the church grow rapidly on priesthood alone. Look at the Catholic Church. Say whatever you want to say about the perceived excesses. But the combination of church and state. Now let me tell you something. When you look at the way people look at the church and criticize the church, something strange. Nobody looks at whiskey and say, why can't you call for a campaign? Haven't you noticed that? Or past presidents. Who better to protest than past presidents? This is not how things are done. Come on, we want a better nation. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nobody calls them at all. And as ridiculous as that seems, as extreme as that seems, somehow, intuitively, people know that the church cannot be totally exempt from governance. There is just a secret intuition. They can't articulate it. They know you cannot see. They know that God has given us too much grace to be uninvolved. They can't articulate it. They can't explain why. And it annoys me because there are several other people. When you gather like this, they'll say, If all these people could gather to demand from the government. Meanwhile, they have Obile, Dirty December, all those. Maybe there is a secret supernatural intuition. They just know you ought to be involved. They can't explain it. And guess what? They are right. What is it about your anointing that only works in church? Why can't the wisdom of God on your life translate to policies? You know, the Lord was speaking to me. Every believer ought to function like Abraham. We have become too title conscious. Do you know Abraham was both a king and a priest? Because Abraham lived before the law. So he was exempt from all those restrictions. He was a king and a priest, even if he didn't bear the titles. It was until what happened in Abimelech's house, Abimelech's palace, that we knew he was a prophet. God told Abimelech, Abraham is going to have to pray for you. He's a prophet. God called him a prophet, even if he never put the prefix before his name, prophet. But he was. The first recorded healing in the Bible didn't come by Elijah, didn't come by Moses, it came by Abraham. Think about that. He prayed for the entire region of Abimelech. Everybody who couldn't give birth, gave birth. If you are functioning with that kind of grace, you want to call yourself Fruitfulness International Ministry. That's a man of God right there. Proper man of God. Think about this. Three kings came together against Sodom, defeated Sodom. Sodom as a territory couldn't defend themselves. Abraham had no skin in the game, just for personal interest, because they kidnapped his nephew. He gathered servants from his own house, fought the three kings and won. Is that not a king? You see, that wasn't even the full strength of his army. What kind of man is that? What kind of man is that? King and priests. Don't be surprised one day I come out and say, just call me Emmanuel Irene. It doesn't reduce my grace. It doesn't reduce. You see, another day. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. Start reprogramming your mind and conditioning your spirit to be able to shine your light in the secular space. To say, okay, I have proven this anointing in choir. Let me prove it in governance. There was something the Lord told me. I will tell you people in 15 years. No, trust me, I can't say it now. Trust me, I can't say it now. All I will say is this. All I will say is this. God is insistent on me not limiting myself to the pulpit. Come on, are you listening to me? He's insistent. There's a lot more you can do. And a lot more you will do. You will shine your light in a dark place. If you notice in the New Testament, it looked like there was a shift. The people God started putting his grace upon were professionals. Like the Ethiopian eunuch. He was a treasurer, an accountant. He had Ican, a treasurer. Yes, that was the person that God chose to take the gospel to Africa, a professional. What about Cornelius, a military man? Are you seeing the pattern? I said, in Christ, you are bivocational. In Christ, we are who? Bivocational. So start getting curious about how things work. Those of you who are into movies, make movies and support Christian ideas with your full chest. Have interest with your full chest. The people who have agendas, they don't hide it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Stop hiding. I'm a believer. Demand that your office respects that. Stop hiding. Get involved in politics. Start discovering how things work. Get involved in economics. Are you listening to me? Get involved in real estate. Open your spirit for it. Are you listening to me? Oh? Listen to me. Learn about money. You will not be ruled by it, but you will have it. Learn about it. Learn about it. We need more righteous people having a lot of it. Learn about it. Some things you just refuse to be a pawn in the chess game of the world. Refuse. Get curious. If God has given you dominion, master your domain. Master your domain. Not just policies, you don't know what is happening, but they're affecting you. Right now, in the world, you are hearing US, Iran, you have not researched about it. You don't know anything that is happening. You just know fuel prices are increasing and you are protesting. You don't know what is. Function with excellence. It is part of priesthood to be hardworking. Study throughout the Bible and notice this pattern. God never did business with a lazy person. Not once. Everybody had a strong work culture. Please read. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
buy books. Read. Expand your mind. Go for conferences. Go for knowledge. I'm going to end it here. Say, I'm a priest and a king. Say, in my sphere of influence, by the grace of God, I play my part. In the small and in the great, I play my part. By the wisdom of the Lord, I play my part. Say, just like Esther, I am here for such a time as this. Say, I am here for such a time as this. To whom much is given, much is required. I lend my voice. I use my resources. I advance the cause of the gospel. Listen to me. Say, I'm generous. I sponsor kingdom ideas. Listen to me. You see, in 2026, many things are not organic. People have different funny agendas and they are enjoying sponsorship. That's why in your day, the kingdom of heaven will not suffer lack of funds. Listen, God has and will yet more make this ministry one of the most generous group of people in the world. We will take pride in it. It is something the government will begin to recognize. These people, if they come together, they can do anything. They can buy anything. They can buy. You see, God has made us a force to be reckoned with. He has. He has. We can't be ignored. We can't be ignored. We are not just church members. We are also a market. I'm saying that for a reason. So that means we can demand for policies to favor us. Because we have the numbers. And we are vocal about our political interests. It's not about this person or that person. It's about kingdom ideas. Which one is in line with kingdom ideas? That's where we will come. And they will know ahead of time. There are some decisions you are going to make, some people you want to side with, and you know that you are cutting us off. We won't side this nonsense with our full chest. Just pray in the spirit. This is important too. This is another important impartation. Thank God for healing. Thank God for grace. Thank God for priesthood. Let the Lord reveal His plan for kingship, for you to rule and reign in fashion, in music, in economics, banking, media, governance. Governance. In Jesus' mighty name, we've prayed. Don't forget, in the Old Testament, it is not only priests that were anointed, kings were anointed too. It's in 2026 that we think, oh, if you pray a lot, it's to be a pastor. There is an anointing for governance. Therefore, I pray for you. That anointing that creates room for reigning, that orchestrates Kairos relationships, Kairos opportunities, that creates room for you in the palace, that writes your name on the table where decisions are made. That anointing that gives influence, that increases graces, that makes a voice audible, let that grace rest upon you now. Amen. This is what I see in my spirit. I see a coat of influence resting on your shoulder. Amen. A new garment of kingship. Amen. A new garment of influence. A new garment of kingship. Amen. A new garment of influence. Amen. Take your portion now. Sata kai bondere kandele pombras kabaya. Sendere pombras kabaya. Now, this is the impartation you're about to receive. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. To know what to do. To know where to go. The spirit of wisdom, insights, understanding. 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 Thank you, Father. Kalabarande lepoko shente repakasete. Pronsom braskaba la takabaya. Esemenendom braskabaya. Eselebokai. I'm giving 20 more seconds. 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 Wisdom. Insights. Understanding. Hey, hey. Hey, 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 hey.
In Jesus' mighty name. When God wanted to make David king, did he advise him to join a political party? What he did was to put oil on his head. There is a kind of oil that begins to orchestrate your paths. A supernatural permutation that will create opportunities for announcement, opportunities for kingship. I see that oil resting on people now. This is your supernatural coronation. Right now, I see your supernatural coronation. Your supernatural coronation. Supernatural coronation. Supernatural, supernatural, supernatural. Oil, 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 oil of ease and oil of speed. What ought to take 20 years will now take you 1 week. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Asile mandere boya. Listen to me. When God told Abraham, as far as your eyes can see, I will give you this land, he didn't mean it metaphorically. It means in the place of prayer, God can give you real estates. You may have come here as an immigrant. God will give you land. You will build houses here. And in the name of Jesus, just like the Lord told Abraham, I'm telling you, by prophetic gifts and by Tadema, open your eyes and see the land God has given you to occupy. Territories of influence. Build the houses, both for yourself and for the Lord. In the name of Jesus. As far as your eyes can see, both for you and for your children, you will possess. Thank you, Father. Because you are good and your mercy is forever. You are good and your mercy is forever. Now, let me give you a prophetic instruction. Don't think that God needs to go through the general mode to provide for you financially. Some of you, you had an entrepreneurial mind, but there is something about this city that kills it. It's difficult to be entrepreneurial here. Don't give up. Study more. Release your heart of favor. Release prophetic words. Because the way you are going, some of you, it might take 20 years, 30 years. There has to be a way. And there is. Listen, the way they... Now, make no mistake, and this is another extreme that some people get into. They try to insinuate that everybody in Christ must be uber wealthy. Not necessarily. Part of Christian culture is the strong help the weak. We help the vulnerable. Do you understand what I'm saying? But at the same time, let every one of us apply divine wisdom to make sure that we are doing the best we can with the resources God has given us. There is a seat for you at the top with your name of it, with your name on it. I said, there is a seat for you at the top with your name on it. Mark these words. Not too long from now, there will be mayors in this United Kingdom from this congregation. said it openly. Mark it. It will happen. It will happen. And for everyone that God has destined for that, answer your name. Let the Daniels answer their name. Let Esther's answer their name. Let Joseph's answer their name. Thank you, Lord. You know what I'm doing? Deep is calling on to deep. The prophecy that is already on your inside, I'm calling it out. Calling it out. Answer your name. 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 The giant in you is coming alive. The giant in you. It will happen. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This is what God is asking me to tell somebody. The same you that has been struggling to pay rent, the same you struggling to pay rent, he will make you a ruler in this land. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Father, you've blessed us to be a blessing. We step into these shoes with humility, with gratitude, and we give generously as you've blessed us. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.